Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning to you, Mike.
Guys, how are you?
We're not doing too good, Mike Conti. We're not doing too good.
Twitters are lighting us up too, and what are you going to do?
But this is as bad as they've played. So you would feel better if they were kind of going in the right direction, if they were showing improvement, if they were showing signs that things were starting to connect finally. And I think you got just the opposite yesterday. They're still defending very well, and that's a conversation we can have. But in the attacking third, it's not there yet, and it seems even more disjointed now. And that's why I think a lot of the people that are tweeting and calling into your program this morning are saying what they're saying.
How much of this is growing pains and just getting to know a new coach and everything?
I think it's obviously a lot because you have a new manager who's implementing a new system. We thought when this all started that it would not be a new system. I think clearly now we know it is a new system. The shape is not dramatically different, 3-4-3 as opposed to 3-5-2, but it looks like the responsibility of what players have to do out there is different, somewhat dramatically. So you're learning a new system under a new coach. However, it is your fifth match now, and at a certain point, you get to the line where you say, all right, it's not early anymore. Okay, we've played enough competitive matches together. I mean, they've played 5 competitive matches and 4 more preseason matches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's 9 games now where you've had the opportunity to kind of figure this out, and they aren't there yet. I do think there are 2 very big factors in play with all of this. If I were to tell you what they are, would you promise me that you would not say you're making excuses? Because it's going to sound like I'm making excuses, but I think it's a real thing. You promise?
I'm not going
to
say
that. Are you talking to us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. I'm good.
Okay, just making sure. All right, look, here's the thing. Since last Thursday when you played Arediano, a week ago Thursday, all right, you had the match at Arediano. If you assume that you do not have a full training the day after a game, because the guys who played 90 minutes are going through what they call regen, where they're trying to get their muscles loose and basically trying to recover from putting in that work rate the night before. If you believe they're doing regen the day after a game, and if you believe the day before a match, they're going through a walkthrough, basically. You're not going to go too hard the day before a match. Then Atlanta United has only had truly 1 full day to train as a team with everyone in the last 11 days, okay? Because you have the whole match against Arediano, day after a game, day before D.C. where you're traveling. You play D.C., day after D.C., you're traveling again. 5-hour flight to Mexico. That takes you to the day before the match at Monterey, match day in Monterey. You're traveling all day Thursday to get back to the United States. Friday, there's your training, which, by the way, is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not the training ground. Saturday is the day before a game. You had the game yesterday. So you have a new coach. You're implementing a new system. You're playing the same guys. So how can you get better if you aren't able to dedicate more time to train? And this is where I think the CONCACAF Champions League has had kind of a burdensome effect on this club right now. I know they embrace the opportunity to play in an international competition, but it's killing them right now from the standpoint of match compression and travel. And the other thing I would say, and again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making excuses. I think this is a real thing. If you watched all 90 minutes of that match yesterday, I think you could clearly see, especially as the second half went along, that the legs were starting to go. This team is tired. And why wouldn't they be? 3 matches in 6 days. 4 matches in, 9 days? They're in the span of 6 matches in 18 days. They still have 2 more to go. So, look, I mean, they're underperforming and they know it. But I think you got to cut them a little bit of slack here.
All right, I have 2 things that I want. Number one, there were two.
You promised, John.
I'm not making excuses. I'm asking a question. There were 2 balls, one on a corner, one on a cross, that went across the face of the goal to an empty net, and nobody got a foot on it.
Well, one was a mistake. The one where Larenowitz almost headed it in and he had no one on the back post. I think that was just an alignment mistake. I'm trying to remember the other.
Joseph and Koi, they just went right through the box, and nobody went up there to hit it. So,
well,
I mean, that was probably the cross by Petey.
Might have been. Yeah, I'm struggling to remember it. I'll have to go back. I mean, that's a real thing. In the final third right now, it's still not clicking. It absolutely is not clicking in the final third. It has not been clicking really all year, save for the home match against Arellano. You know, again, you're taking Miguel Almiron out. You're putting Pity Martinez in. They're two outstanding players, but they do different things. And I think some people here in this town have just assumed that you're going to be able to plug Pity Martinez into Miguel Almiron's spot and everything's going to be normal. They really play two different positions. And I think there's been a little bit, to use Hugh's term, I think there's been some growing pains there. And again, the way that they're playing now, the responsibility with the ball is a little bit different than what it was last year when Tata basically said, okay, go out, just attack, give the ball away if you have to, we'll go get it back, get down there, put as much on net as possible, and just attack, attack, attack. It's not the same here.
Mike Conney, the play-by-play voice of the United. Second thing real quick, if I can, Hugh, is that you're right. I see tired legs out there. Presuming they don't advance at CONCACAF, that's a safe presumption. After the Philadelphia game on Sunday, one game in a month, at that point, I'll reserve judgment till they come back from that. You know,
okay, I think that's fair.
You know, and let's see what they start to do. But having said that, Mike, doesn't DeBoer have to, as Taylor Twellman was on the broadcast, you and I were talking about it, he's basically saying, you got to unleash these horses. You can't just sit back. I mean, you got to let them play.
Yeah, I mean, I respect Taylor Twellman, and he's not the only one to say that among the national soccer media. I think you got to give it a little bit more time. And I wince as I say that because I know people are getting impatient in this town. But I think it would be ill-advised to throw out the philosophy after five matches in one in which you have not lost at home and you've lost all three matches on the road. It's not unusual, by the way, to lose a lot of road matches in soccer, especially when you're playing at Monterrey and in Costa Rica and at D.C., which might be the best team in the East this year, one of the three, if not the best. You still haven't lost at home yet. So I know it feels bad, doesn't feel good. They're really not in terrible shape right now. They're in trouble in CONCACAF. But as I said, I think it might be a slight blessing in disguise if those matches go away because it's causing problems.
So with that being said, we have, what, three matches before we have a long extended break?
Two
matches
more.
before we have a long extended break?
Mm-hmm.
So when is it okay to – I don't want to say push the panic button or have cause for some concern if it doesn't change.
Right now. No, I have cause for concern right now because, again, it regressed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I could accept a 1-1 draw against Cincinnati if I felt like, okay, that's the best they've played all year. I don't feel that was even close to the best they've played all year. It might have been the worst they've played all year.
I trust that Pity is going to get better. I don't know that I trust that Breck Shea is.
Well, but you got to remember, John, that George Bello's been hurt. Fortunately, he was able to play Saturday night for ATL UTD2, so he's close to coming back. I don't think the idea was that Breck Shea was going to be your everyday starter at left wing back. I think the assumption was he and George Bello would split time. You've put a lot on Breck Shea's plate, and I think he's done okay. I think he's become a whipping boy for some reason, and you know, look, everyone has made mistakes. Breck Shea maybe stands out a little bit because he's tall and he has a ponytail. I think he's done just about as well as he can. George Bello is coming back. Franco Escobar is coming back. It's interesting to me that we forget that you have two very key players, including a guy that was maybe your best player in the playoffs last year, that have not played. So again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I think there are some explanations for why some of this has happened.
Some intangibles.
Yeah, and look, do you guys really think a group this talented is going to let this fester? You've got the reigning South American Player of the Year, the reigning MLS MVP, and all-time single-season goal-scoring record holder. You've got two of the five finalists for Defender of the Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
You have, what, four All-Stars from last year on this team. They're too talented to let this fester. This will get fixed. You're starting fresh. And it's going to take time. And unfortunately, you were thrown into this international competition that added to a lot of match compression right at the start of the year and created some very complicated travel for
Doesn't
you.
Help that the manager, the new manager, says the fans are spoiled. I mean, that did not
well,
help.
Well, you're taking that out of context, I think. You know, we are spoiled in Atlanta. An expansion team went to the playoffs in 2017 and won a championship in their second year.
In December.
Right. We are spoiled. It's a difference. Did he say they're acting spoiled? No. He said they're spoiled. We are spoiled. It's uncommon for a team to have this kind of success this quickly. It's raised the expectations. They're not meeting the expectations right now. I get it. That's frustrating. I think you're taking that comment completely out of context. He did not say the fans are acting spoiled. He said, we're spoiled here. We are.
We're going to hug it out.
Let's go. Oh, no, no. I love you guys. But I'm going to correct the record when I think it needs to be corrected.
Nobody's mad at anybody.
No, we're not mad, but we're going to hug. We're going to have a big old group hug after this.
Listen, you got two home matches this week where if you get results in both of them, you'll feel a lot better going into that break, and then we're having a totally
just like
discussion.
Mike Conti said, y'all back up off Atlanta United. They got a lot of stuff going on. They've been traveling a lot, and their legs is tired.
Yeah, you know, fans coming out of the stands to attack any players, thank God.
Oh, God, that was awful. Huh?
Yeah.
Just awful.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, do
no
appreciate
problem.
It.
I really do love you guys,
man. And we love you,
we
too,
love
Mike.
You too, Mike. I like your passion, though. I do like that passion.
Gotta be.
Yeah.